In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York on Odyssey Sports Station. It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
City, what is up? It is the Boomer and Geo program coming to you live from Built Ford Tough Studio. The number to call, 888-808-1019. Of course, if you're hearing my voice, you are not hearing Geo's. If you hear that CeeLo's on the show, then you're not going to hear Boomer's. The boys are off. They'll be back coming up next Tuesday as we start the sprint to Thanksgiving and the rest of life. Rascona, Fliegelman, good morning, guys. How are you? And CeeLo, good morning to you, sir. How you be?
I'm doing great. Did you just say the sprint to Thanksgiving and the rest of life?
Well, yeah. I mean, today's the first day of the rest of your life.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about, yeah. Jerry. That's the type of
all positive
outlook and positive energy we need out of the gate here.
Lots of positivity today.
Yeah.
Just like yesterday, we started with the Yankees, positivity. Today, we start with the Yankees, positivity. Positive week. I'll tell you this. So I have been on this thing with Aaron Judge now, and guys have gotten on me. Why do you not include Shohei Ohtani when you talk about the best thing you've ever seen and the thing with McMonagle last week and blah, 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 blah. Last night's is another example of why I take Judge over Ohtani at this point. And it's no home runs last night. He had his 1,000th hit. That's nice. They didn't need him to hit home runs last night. They wound up playing a little bit of small ball, some sacrifices. You had the kid Cruz making his big league debut in right field for the Nationals. That was a nice story. You get Jazz Chisholm with the home run, DJ LeMahieu showing a pulse. Like, there were things last night where you didn't need Soto and Judge and Stanton to carry the load. That was great. But he makes a couple of plays in center field, and while not the greatest plays you will ever see, I think that would be a stretch, I think you'll agree, they are still remarkable plays for a big lumbering man who can still kind of troll the outfield and make an impact on a game. And last night, while he doesn't do it with the bat, he's out there every single night playing the field with an opportunity to impact the game in a different way, whereas Ohtani right now is not a player in the field. He's right. A DH. And even when he does come back and pitch, he's pitching every fifth day. And good luck if you win the games he starts, because he's probably out after the sixth inning anyway. It's why, to me, Judge is the more complete player and the best I've ever seen. And last night was another example.
And he just continues to show off the full package, the full arsenal. And it's funny, we talk about the size, and lumbering is the right word, but also at the same time, the thing that's always amazed me about Judge when you watch him, we're talking specifically about his defense and in the field here, is, Jack Curry was on this a lot on the post game last night, and I totally agree with him. I've always felt that way.
You were up watching the post game?
I was. But
you know your alarm was going off at 2:30.
Yes, right? But you got, listen, I'll say this quickly before we get off on a tangent.
Yeah.
Wife and kids are down with the in-laws at Ocean City. So, like, when I got home yesterday, I had plenty of time to take a nice nap in the afternoon.
Okay,
so that was always my plan.
Got it.
A little sleep on the front end, watch the game, enjoy the post-game coverage, especially since the Mets were off. And then you catch a couple hours on the back end. Anyway, it amazes me how you watch him operate, even at the plate. Like, and this is going to sound like a critique, but it's not. Never looks like he's at 100%, like going 100% or full on. Like, even when he swings the bat,
it's effortless.
There's an ease to it.
Yeah.
In the field, the way he runs, the way, even when he throws, and he makes the perfect throw to Gleyber there as the cutoff man for the double play on the ball that he robbed over the fence. There's just such an almost like effortlessness to it. I mean, it is remarkable when you think of the size and the strength of this guy, and it feels like he doesn't even have to go full throttle at any point to get to the level that he's playing at.
Yeah, no, and that has been the case ever since we've seen him, whether it was right field, center field, and when you watch him at the plate, he moves out. Lumbering wasn't the right word. I just said it because he's a big guy and he's out in center field.
Right, it's a big body moving around out there.
He's just like, he's done a great job out there. And, you know, people be like, well, I don't want him in center field. He's going to get injured and wear and tear. Stop. You know, he is an athlete. And I know he has had his injury issues, some goofy, like the one in Los Angeles, not so much because of anything other than circumstance,
yeah,
time. Kind of like Verdugo last night, smashed his face in his knee, making a great play in left field. Those things do happen. But man, if this guy stays healthy, he is something to watch on a day-to-day basis. And I know this is a broken record, but that's what he is. Like, he does something spectacular, not every night, but on a lot of nights. Again, last night he goes 1-for-4, 1-for-5, whatever it was, but he makes two plays in the outfield that has an impact on the game. And it's just like, you marvel at it. And to me, enjoy it, because you don't see this often.
And two plays in the outfield covering a ton of ground as well. And that's what, you know, I'm just looking up, not to go off the deep ends with analytics and advanced metrics or whatever, but the Baseball Savant page has sort of the percentiles for all the different categories. So you pull up Judge's page and everything's basically in the red. Mm-hmm. He's off the charts, right? But his sprint speed, he's like 34th percentile. So obviously below league average.
Right.
Which, okay, fine, a man of that size is what you expect, but he's still patrolling center field. And last night he goes to, especially on that first catch, well, maybe the degree of difficulty wasn't as much as on the second one, going up and over the wall, going all the way back to the very depths of center field. And as he's tracking the ball, you see him twice check to see where taking his eye off the ball momentarily.
And then finding it again.
I mean, very impressive and smooth.
And we don't want to go overboard. A lot of major league outfielders can track a ball, find the wall. But I understand your point.
Put it all together.
Yes. It's just, it's as if, you know, you can take one specific player and say that's a home run hitter, and he's very average at a lot of other things he does. The point about Judge is it's not just the home runs. It's, as we talked about yesterday, it's the home runs. It's the hitting for average. It's playing center field. It's scoring runs. It's driving in runs. It's his arm strength is ridiculous. They were talking on the, I saw in the one highlight package I was watching, and that the Nationals broadcasters were talking about this kid Cruz and his arm strength. Like, you're going to marvel at his arm strength. Well, I've marveled at Judge's arm strength since he's come up. I mean, and again, it looks effortless the way he throws the ball.
It almost looks like he has to dial it back a little bit to control it. You know, like when he just his throwing mechanics and the release of the ball, just, it doesn't look like he's cutting it fully loose because he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
So it's, I guess when you're that size, that's what comes with it, you know, and it's just something that we can't understand or put ourselves in those shoes because we're not that big and strong and talented, but it is fun to watch.
And you, for you, I've always said for me it was Ken Griffey Jr. until now. What's the best you've ever seen?
Yeah, I mean,
and don't give me
Pete
Otani.
Griffey was a pretty good one. Peak A-Rod was up there. Now I have no exact way of knowing when the juice started. Obviously the Bond stuff, and that, look, it's unfortunate because we're talking about guys that were great players regardless of whatever they did or didn't do. But this level that Judge is playing at right now, this last couple of years, obviously 2022, and what he's doing this year. I mean, I don't. In my lifetime, it's hard to come up with anybody that topped the level that he's playing at right now.
Not to mention, his April was atrocious.
Right.
Like, you think about what he's doing for the season is one thing. Now you cut a month out of it, and I only mean from the standpoint of there wasn't it was really very little production in April, and he was being booed, and we were sitting here saying, what in the hell is wrong with Aaron Judge early on? And so this has really been a run of May, June, July, and now August. I mean, it's pretty wild just to think what he can accomplish when he is on. And, I mean, we've seen it. People are talking about, you know, getting to 62. We had one, I think one caller yesterday said, why wouldn't he get to 68? He's right. I mean, with the way this guy can hit in bunches.
Never know.
It's not out of the realm of possibility that he goes on one of these tears, as we've seen over and over and over again, and he shatters his own record.
The month splits since the end of April.
Yeah.
He was hitting 207 with a 754 OPS, and that wasn't even rock bottom.
Like, what were
but
home,
that's what it was.
What were home runs and RBIs after April? In April,
he hit, because you remember, you got the first... season started in March. He had a couple days in March.
Right.
So if I combine those, he hit 125 in those first couple games in March, 220 in April. So let's call it, I don't know, 210, 215. I'm guessing
right,
at that.
Terrible.
Right. With 6 home runs and 18 RBIs. And in every month since then, right? In May, hit 361, 14 homers, OPS almost 1,400. In June, he hit 409. 11 homers, OPS almost 14.
Give me the RBIs, though.
RBIs,
I think
okay.
Most people understand what OPS is. Give me,
fair
give
enough.
Me RBIs.
May, 27.
In a month.
Yeah.
Right?
June, 37. In July, he cooled off, hitting 318 with 8 homers and 17 RBIs.
Terrible.
And so far in August, he's hitting 425 with 12 homers and 23
It's a
RBIs.
Monster season.
Yep.
I mean, it is a monster season. And you almost wonder, and I clearly have to do the math on this, and I know you can't do this, but if you didn't have April and those couple of games in March, his batting average might be 375.
It's got to
be.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a way I could... You know,
it's
manipulate
right.
that somewhere, or obviously do the math and a break. But yeah, to be where he's at, 333 now, and he's 207 coming out of April. Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty damn good. So Judge will has been and will continue to be the story and a story, and there's no doubt about it. A couple of other things from last night that were interesting. Number one, before I get to Nestor Cortez, I know he won there, and he was a kid and all that. It amazes me, and I think it's cool, don't get me wrong, but I'm surprised when I see guys get standing ovations from teams that they're no longer on.
Yeah.
And I think it's great. He won there. I know the Nationals would love to have him back, but that's got to be a very neat moment for Juan Soto, given, you know, tapping the helmet to the crowd and just kind of cool.
Especially considering he turned down the big contract offer from them, right?
Yeah.
That's a factor. But yes, he did win there. I also, part of me has to wonder... I'm not saying all of them, but I'm sure a lot of Yankee fans in attendance last night, which added to that a little, you know?
Perhaps.
Like, I think, listen, the Nats aren't any good right now. They're rebuilding. I'm sure their attendance, for the most part, hasn't been great. I don't know how many Nationals fans came out last night specifically to see him. Maybe a decent handful.
See, I think you get a bunch because they're a draw.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, think like the Yankees, I think, do very well on the road because of Judge and Soto. So then you add that to the mix. I think you probably had more national fans there last night than you'd think.
Yeah, I think for these games that are somewhat local, like Washington, Baltimore, Philly, because of, we've talked about it off the air, how, especially for those of us that are in New Jersey, getting to the Bronx or to Queens to see the Mets is very tricky. So sometimes making the trip down, and even when you factor in gas and tolls, the ticket price is being, you can spend less going on a road trip with one of your teams locally than going to a home game. It's just the reality of the way the economics work around here.
Yeah,
right
I've
now.
Said forever, going to a Phillies game is so much easier than going to Yankee Stadium or City Field from Central Jersey.
Yeah.
Hell, I'll even say going to Baltimore. The 5 or 6 times we've done it, for me, it's like 2 hours and 10 minutes. Yeah, you can hit some traffic, but it's in the times I've done it, I've never been held up too much. And it's like, wow, I got here in the same amount of time it would take me to get to Citi Field, which is bizarre.
Yep, and you could probably pay a lot less to sit a lot closer, at least in years past. Like, I know Baltimore getting better. I'm sure that's changed a little bit down there
they're,
to some extent.
Their attendance has been putrid. For a team that's got great expectations and is a couple of games out of first place and had first place for a long time this season, I would say incredibly disappointing to see what their attendance has been. And I don't know what it's going to show in terms of paid attendance, but there have been numerous times watching those games or watching the highlights where the place is half empty.
I don't know how up to date this is, but look, they're like 18th as far as the average goes.
That's terrible.
It's not good when you consider were a division leader and right there behind the Yankees right now.
It's not good when you take into account teams like Tampa and Miami. You're going to play Colorado. I mean, how about the fact, I think Colorado played, who did they play, the Marlins last night? Something like that. Could you imagine? Who wants to go watch that game?
Somehow they're ahead of Baltimore in average attendance. Now, some of it also is the capacity of the parks, but, you know, we get the idea.
Yeah, but at Camden Yards, you can tell people are not attending the game.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so you had the Soto stuff. And then the other thing was, we talked yesterday about the starting pitching for the Yankees when the postseason comes. And there have been many guys where you sit there and say, you don't know what you're going to get on a start-to-start basis. Are we starting to see a little bit more consistency from Nestor Cortes to make you think he can be the pitcher we saw a couple of years ago when you felt like he was going to win every time he went out there?
I don't know that he's going to get back to that level, which was, you know, he went to the All-Star game that year, and it hasn't really been the same since. But if you give me him in a conversation with Rodon or Stroman, the way he's looked in this last sequence, and until he gave up the home run last night, was, what, 20 and a third scoreless? So he's the guy that I think you feel most confident in, or if you were going to pick one to kind of go to war with in a big spot in the playoffs, that's of those three, that's the one I would feel most comfortable running out there. I'm curious to see how they're going to handle that whole thing, because if Luisio comes back, and it sounds like he might right off of his time up in the IL, Clark Schmidt's already making his rehab appearances. I'm curious to see how they're going to handle the rotation come October. Plus, I think they're still short in the bullpen. And I think
I'd put Heel in the bullpen.
Right. That's what I was going to. I think, to me, if you're going to roll with your, if you're going to go Cole and whatever, Rodon, Nestor, and Stroman as your starters, of those four guys, I mean, Cole's a given. We know he's in the rotation. Those other three guys, there's not any of them like, you know what, I think they project really well to the pen, or I could see them pitching well out of the pen. Maybe Nestor, but I think that Heel and Schmidt serve more of a purpose out there. Heel's arm should play up. Schmidt has experience doing it, obviously. And they don't really have the dominant deep pen like they have in recent years, some of the, or at least some of the household proven names. So I think Rodon, the way he's pitched in this last go-around, is sort of solidifying his spot, and that's the guy that I would feel most comfortable with after Cole.
Heel, and I'll probably get ripped for saying this, but Heel to me is a kid, and I know he's a kid, and he's got to build up the arm strength to where he doesn't fall off like he kind of has here.
He's
mid-season.
Blown past his career high in innings already. Yeah,
which is why you almost wonder if getting him in the bullpen when he's back now, to me, he's got electric stuff.
Yeah.
And if he's only got electric stuff for an inning or two, and I'm not saying make him the closer. I know a lot of Yankee fans have had enough of Clay Holmes. But he's got that strikeout stuff that Holmes doesn't have.
Right.
And I could see him as, if Holmes is going to be your guy, and I understand that, maybe he's your eighth inning guy in the postseason.
It would be a lot of pressure for a young kid having not done it. But
it's eighth inning, not ninth inning.
Right, right. And there's a need there. I mean, look, there are some names, and the Yankees have done this, like, you know, the Jake Cousins, the Luke Weavers of the world. But if I tell you right now I'm throwing that guy in a high leverage spot in the seventh or eighth inning of a playoff game, I don't know that you feel, maybe they get it done, but, like, you know, the Michael Kings of the world are gone. Wandy Peralta's gone. Loaisig is hurt. You know, they obviously Aroldis Chapman is long gone now. So Holmes has had his warts and his issues. So they don't really have as many go-to guys on the back end. Tommy Canley's pitched pretty well. And you could say, well, they don't really have a left-hander, but Canley's a guy that gets lefties out because he's got the changeup. So they have some options, but I agree with you. Heels stuff, I would think, would play up in that role. And we've seen Schmidt do it, and he has strikeout stuff as well. So if it's just where are you going to get the most value out of your available arms? And I think those two guys project better than saying, hey, Nestor, you're going to go out to the pen and we're going to try and, you know, match you up late in innings. I don't really see him as that type of guy.
What if I gave you this comparison? Rivera to Wetland, Heel to Holmes. And away we go.
Let's calm down.
Why? What do you mean calm down? Why calm down for what? This is a first place team. They're going to be in the postseason.
Yeah.
Let's start some comparisons to 96.
I think Mo, if you go back to that season, was much more established in that role leading into the postseason.
And we're talking stuff here.
And John Wetland was, I think, probably a little bit more accomplished
as a closer
than Holmes.
Well,
Holmes
is your guy, though.
I know. I don't know if I'm ready to go there.
I didn't say Holmes is Wetland, but he's in that spot, and
okay,
he is going
so
to be the closer.
You're not comparing the abilities. You're just comparing the setup.
Here's what I'm comparing the setups, and I'm comparing what I could see as the next Mariano Rivera in Luis Heel. The kid's electric.
He is.
He's electric.
I'm not going to Mo just yet.
I'm just saying. I could see it.
But yeah, I'm curious to see where where he's going to end up, because we saw the highest of highs with him working as a starter in that stretch where you had, you know, BT comparing him to Dwight Gooden in 1984.
He was phenomenal.
Right, he was. No, he was. I get it. I get it. But yeah, I wonder, because of the fact that he doesn't have a big track record as far as a lot of innings under his belt. Obviously, he's been through his surgery already and coming back from that and kind of caught us all by surprise. And the one thing when he gets into trouble as a starter is the command and the control sometimes. So maybe that's where him in the bullpen makes a little bit more sense. I hope we get to see it. The story I read this morning about him coming off the IL is for now they plan to keep him as a starter. But, you know, as we get into September, and if they are able to kind of take control of the division, which the opportunity is there right now. It's two games.
Got the
Baltimore's lead. Playing the Dodgers out in L.A. starting tonight. The Yankees are playing the Nats here in Washington. So it's a chance for them to kind of build up a little bit of a cushion. And then I think as September progresses, it gives you the chance to start to dial in who's going to be in what role. Do we have to move somebody to the pen, get them some innings and some experience there before we get to the postseason?
All right, we're going to take a break. We have a lot to do today. So we've got Pat Boyle coming up next. He will give you all the sounds from yesterday. We will have, since Pat made it very clear yesterday that he's a comedy movie buff from the 2000s, as is the guy to my left, we're going to have them go head-to-head coming up at 6:45-ish. We've got Steve Peichel and Dylan Harper coming in studio at 8 a.m. from Rutgers. Plus, I got something we're going to tell you about later on as well in regards to that. And you, if you want to get in, 888-808-1019. It's CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Oh, yeah, call the show. 888-808-1019. That's right. Coming to you live to Bill Fortchup Studio. It's CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. Lots and lots and lots to do today on a, Tuesday. Final Tuesday before the unofficial end of summer comes. That's sad. Because once we get to Labor Day, it's over.
It's over.
I mean, well, it is. Yeah, I know, kind of.
See, but I look forward to that time of year myself, but I can understand where you're coming from, Jerry.
No. One has nothing to do with the other. The weather is fabulous, and I think it's golfing-wise, it's great. I think it's fun if you're in youth sports, all that.
Yeah, football.
And for parents, their kids go back to school.
That's a big part of it for
something
me.
Something like that, I
it's
figure
time.
You do.
It is time to go back.
Yeah,
need to get
understand.
Back into the routine. Need some discipline, need some structure.
Well, you're supposed to provide that.
It's been a long, long summer.
Pat, good morning. You came back for more?
Yes. Yeah, I made a catastrophic error. I thought I was going to be done with this mint by the time we got back from break, and I'm not.
There is a trash can
to
your left.
You
want to go ahead
out.
And spit that out?
The best part is now.
Catastrophic.
As someone who is, when you're sick and you have like cough drops during a broadcast, during commercial breaks, now you're going to have a lot of saliva building up in your mouth as you're talking. So try not to drool on yourself.
Okay.
If you can.
That'll be good.
That would be, I mean, yesterday was the women's perfume. Maybe today you'll be drooling down your chin.
Yes. You guys.
Hopefully not.
Looking at you guys hopefully will help with not drooling.
Right. Well, I would certainly hope so.
Yeah, I would hope so.
By the way,
well.
CeeLo, you sound exactly like my sister. She got four boys.
Oh, I was like,
I don't remember his voice.
What?
No, yeah.
She's got four boys. I only have two.
All she has said, she goes, there's no discipline. There's no structure.
Yeah, it's out of control.
I think you guys are like parents of young kids, probably jacked up for them to go back to school.
Oh, very jacked up. We got the teaching assignments yesterday. I mean, look, all situations are different. And I think I'm going to get into this with Roscona on the postgame podcast today, which I don't know if he knows he's doing with me until I just said it now.
News to me. Will we be done by 11 a.m.?
Oh, yes, we'll be done.
I got to get out of that parking spot.
I do as well. So we're in lockstep there.
All right, good.
I got a street cleaning ticket yesterday, 11:07.
No, dude, 11:01, you got to be there. You can get them at 11:01.
I've never gone. No, they give you the 5-minute grace period. 11:06 is the earliest.
I can promise you I have received one before 11:06.
Well, they don't like, for street cleaning or a meter?
No, street cleaning, 100%.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Kidding me? They know where their bread's buttered and they make the money. Come on.
Jersey plates.
That
doesn't help, too. Oh,
sitting ducks? Yeah, you're right about that.
That does not help.
They got a jersey bias. It's BS.
Listen, it's the way it is, you know? It's hard.
I normally park right here on the side since we started going in the back entrance. And like the two or three instances, I've seen the guy come at like 11:25, 11:30.
Yeah, that's this street. But if you're on the street where they begin.
Yeah, well, I'm not a seasoned vet.
You can get hit quick.
Maybe it would have been a nice little heads up. Hey, Pat, did you maybe park, you know, a couple blocks away? You should get out of here very quickly.
I would say this. In the summertime, when people are on vacation and the schools are out, you should be able to find a spot that's okay for the day. It's after that, like Jerry just said, end of summer, first Tuesday after Labor Day.
That's a mess.
That's when the starters come back out.
And now
the first team offense for the parking around here is back.
Right, no, it's true. And that's when we go back to the meter parking.
You got to earn your reps.
Yeah, it's tough. Pretty tough.
You already have an advantage with Alan Eddy not parking their cars this week.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah. All right, what do you got?
We are brought to you by the Farmer's Dog Fresh, human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. Sunday hit two home runs in the win. Last night, Aaron Judge took at least one of them back.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep left center field. Back on the track as Judge leaps up against the wall and makes the catch. Oh, what a play by Judge. And he gets it back in and they're going to double him at first. They get the double play. Oh, what a play by Judge.
Ricky Ricardo right here on the Fan.
You know what I like most about it is the way he shows the ball first.
Yep.
And then, again, has the arm strength to still complete the double play.
Shows the ball and then like the smoothest transition ever to the throwing hand and just a nice P into Glaber as the cutoff.
Yeah, he's like, I got this. Oh, yeah, double up? All okay, right. No problem.
Pretty good.
Yeah, so Judge, another unreal display of greatness. Perfectly timed his jump on the ball, takes back a home run. They double up James Wood at first. That was two innings after he made a leaping grab at the track in dead center field. Yanks beat the Nationals 5-2, so they're now 78-54. Orioles were off last night, so the lead in the AL East is now 2 games. Here's Judge after.
Yeah, I thought we had a chance. You know, it hung up there just enough, and just trying to go out there and make a play. I think Doogie really set the tone earlier by basically running through another wall. So, you know, we had to, you know, as a teammate, you got to go out there and you got to match that energy.
Yeah, so he's alluding to Verdugo's great catch in the second inning. He robbed Ruiz, basically smashed face first into the wall.
Well, and then Volpe basically, you know, slid his head into the guy's knee.
Yeah. And looked like he was going to come out. I'm going to steal third base.
And both of them stayed in, which is interesting. Yeah. Now you wonder if they wake up with a concussion today.
Verdugo, the cap basically got bent backwards.
I mean, that looks ugly. How do you even break his face?
And then especially the way, and then you worry about, obviously, the knee there.
Yeah.
And he's not wanting to put a lot of pressure on it, but they escaped.
And Verdugo said just to Bruce that he'll be fine. But, defensive gems all around. Also got solo home runs from Gleyber Torres in the first, Austin Wells in the sixth, and then
Jazz Chisholm.
Yeah, Jazz Chisholm, shot in the eighth. Not to be lost in the shuffle was Nestor Cortez, delivered a third straight gem, had extended his scoreless inning streak to 20 and a third straight innings before giving up a solo home run to Juan Yepes in the seventh. But Nestor gets the win. He was quick to credit the defense behind him.
Yeah, tremendous. I don't think I go as long as in the game as I did if it wasn't for those amazing catches that were made out there.
Yeah, a bunch of, you know, it's funny with the Verdugo one. It was not funny, but after he makes the catch and then Judge comes over to kind of make sure he's okay, puts his arm around him. Alex Verdugo is 6'1".
Yeah.
And, I mean, it looks like his shrimp. Little brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really remarkable.
I mean, look, the final line on Nestor obviously is great. The catches go a long way towards that.
Sure.
The first ball Judge caught, I think I saw, was a homer in like 17 parks, so more than half the league. But what you liked in that sixth inning when he ends up with the bases loaded, but it was the first two guys, second and third, nobody out, striking out the side and relying on the fastball, blowing it by guys at like 94. Whereas when you think of Nestor, it's usually more, I'm going to mix and match, I'm going to change the arm angle, we're going to mess with your timing a little bit and kind of nitpick, but it seemed like he was feeling it last night, and you saw the emotion come out of him as well on a couple of those strikeouts. That was good to see.
When they had that bases loaded situation, or second and third, whatever it was. That what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Why is it? Sal and I were talking about this a few weeks ago in the newsroom. You see some of these stadiums, and there's no doubt that that's, you know, in terms of dimensions, that's a little bit bigger for sure. It looks like they're playing in a 600-foot outfield.
Yeah.
I'm always wonder, is it the camera angle? Because I know the media is way high.
In Washington, the camera angle, is definitely a factor.
Would Citi Field and Yankee Stadium maybe not look as cavernous, but look bigger if they shot it from higher up?
Perhaps. Probably.
That looks like... My God.
I think I've heard Gary Keith Ron say, because, you know, when they used to play the division teams a bunch, I think I'm pretty sure they always mention how high up they are.
Yes.
Well, in that place they are, yes.
Howie has said it as well. It's like one of the worst viewing points for them from a broadcast.
I don't know if any camera angle can make Yankee Stadium, the outfield look big, but Citi Field, definitely. If they were up high, if that camera angle was up high. But yeah, to your point about Nestor, by the way, I mean, it just shows that He can still pitch, because they were off the plate for him a lot. They did not want him to get his cutter inside. So then obviously, you know, after 5-6 innings of that, he said, you know what, I'm just going to pump the heater.
Yeah.
By the way, Judge, 1,000th career hit as well last night. It's like a different accomplishment or jaw-dropping highlight every night for him now. Clay Holmes, perfect ninth inning for his 28th save. Yankees, that was their 42nd road win. That's the most in the majors. Mm. Gerrit Cole's turn tonight. Patrick Corbin for the Nats. Same first pitch as last night, 6:45. Coverage here on The Fan and Odyssey app starts at 6:05. Okay, the big football news of the day yesterday. Jerry Jones finally found some urgency. This deal got announced right at 2 o'clock on the dot. The Cowboys finally lock up all-pro receiver C.D. Lamb. 4 years, $136 million, $38 million signing bonus.
And I'm glad you said that.
And $100 million guaranteed.
I don't ever want to hear anymore that these contracts aren't guaranteed in the NFL. It's enough. He's got $100 million coming to him, guaranteed no matter what happens.
That's now, all fully, because sometimes you get guarantees, but then there's the fully guaranteed.
No,
as
I
well.
Think from what fully I read, guaranteed. Fully guaranteed, right. $100 million. Okay, is 100% of that guaranteed? No, but let's not make it like these guys are paupers. And if
well, not him, that's the high part of the market.
Though, Chris, they're all like this now. Every single contract that gets signed now, there's a lot of guaranteed money that comes along with it. Is all of it? No. But we're not talking about them guaranteeing these guys $3 million on a $100 million deal.
No, but I think the distinction is important, because when you hear the all-in number, most guys don't end up seeing the end of that contract or all of it. So that's where the guarantee comes
in.
But
a lot of that is due for cap reasons.
Yes.
Which is why they guarantee what they have to guarantee. He walked away with a check yesterday for $38 million.
It's not bad. Yeah. He's going to be just fine. Yes.
I'm glad they got it done. I don't know why it takes so long, but at least that did get done. And so he is now...
Second.
To Justin Jefferson?
Yeah. Second highest non-paid QB in NFL history. Justin Jefferson got $140 million over 4 years, so he's $4 million shy, $1 million a year, $34 million. I saw Jeremy Fowler yesterday, and I'm sure others have maybe reported about this, saying now that the Cowboys are trying to get Dak Prescott's contract extension finalized before week one. Still unclear if they can pull that off. And then on top of all that, you got Jerry Jones vehemently and profanely defending himself. Got some fresh new quotes from him in a sit-down interview with Clarence Hill.
Who's now say it? Vehemently?
Vehemently. Vehement.
Vehemently. Not vehemoth.
No, I didn't say vehemoth. I said vehement. I
think you did.
Yeah.
You said vehemoth.
I meant vehement. Vehemently.
What's vehement?
Oh, vehemently? Vehemently?
There you go. You just said it right.
I think you could place the emphasis on vehemently.
But what word did you screw up last week, too?
Last week?
Yeah, I played the clip. You had another word wrong, which I'm one of the dumbest people in the room, so I get it.
Where was this from? What was he? Which
you were
was on 73.
Was I doing the overnight?
You were with Zach Gelb.
Oh, I said Jerry Jones is running the team like an imbecile.
Right. Imbecile.
I feel like I've heard that pronunciation
never heard that one
before.
It was always imbecile.
Yeah,
but
I think that's a potato.
That's
how it's spelled.
It's better than vehement.
Yeah, he sounded like almost like he was thinking behemoth. That's kind of how it came out.
No, I was thinking vehemently.
All right.
Vehemently?
There you go.
I'm sitting this one out.
Vehemently sounds better.
That is not a go-to word for me.
Imbecile sounds better than imbecile.
Yeah,
Well, you want to start talking about the English language. That's another conversation. I've never heard it said otherwise imbecile, so I don't know.
I think I've heard imbecile.
Imbecile.
Yeah, I think that's just one of those pronunciations.
You too.
I'm with Jerry, 100%. I've only heard imbecile.
I feel like imbeciles, like if you're in Europe, you could say imbecile, right? Part I feel like Europeans accent. Will say it that
sounds
way.
More classy.
Yeah. We're in New York City.
Thanks, Leaks.
Well said.
Would you like a quick excerpt of what Jerry Jones said yesterday?
No, I want you to leave. Yeah.
Excerpt.
Of course.
Look at you with these. What do we do? 6:38 on the week of the last week of summer. Let's simplify the language.
What do you want me to blurb? What do you want me to say?
Excerpt.
So again, these are written quotes, so there's no actual sound, but. So I have an inordinate amount of confidence that if anybody can figure out how to get this bleep done, you want me to do it in Jerry Jones' accent? Or
Jerry Jones said inordinate correctly. Wow.
If anybody can figure out how to get this bleep done, I can figure out how to get it done. I've been there every which way from Sunday, and have I busted my ass a bunch? A bunch. And there's nobody living that's out cutting and shooting that can't give you a bunch of times they busted their ass, so hell no. There's nobody that could effing come in here and do all the contracts and be a GM any better than I can. Plus, I'm where the buck stops. When it F's up, I gotta cover it. And so there, you can't give anybody enough. Can't give. There's nobody who can do it.
Well done. Well done. Now, if you could find that audio, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I don't know if
Does the audio exist?
I think it was a sit-down interview. So I don't know if there. I don't think it
like
exists.
A traditional taking notes interview, Jerry. Maybe not an audio.
Maybe. I mean, you find a lot on Twitter and YouTube. So if you can, that'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. If not, that's fine too.
Yeah.
So we're 9 days away from opening night. Chiefs Ravens. We still have a few prominent contract stalemates. 49ers Brandon Ayuk, which I still can't believe that one's going on. And Trent Williams, they're all pro left tackle. Bengals, Jamar Chase, who has been a hold in as well. And then, of course, the Jets and Hassan Reddick. Elsewhere in the NFL yesterday, the Titans traded backup QB Malik Willis to the Packers. So he's going to be Jordan Love's backup now. This kind of also signals the Titans' full commitment in Will Levis with their new head coach, Brian Callahan. Titans initially drafted Malik Willis third round in 2022 to hopefully be Tannehill's replacement, so that hasn't worked out.
Who's their backup now?
Mason Rudolph.
Ah.
The great Mason CeeLo Rudolph.
Indeed.
I'll never forget that. I think one of the first texts I ever sent to you was when you were in the studio and you had Boomer's, you had the Terps helmet on.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, you look exactly like Mason
that.
Rudolph.
And you were spot on, I think, with that particular comparison that day.
So that's the backup in Tennessee now.
All right.
I got some more football stuff. I got some U.S. Open scores. Do we have...
We got 1 minute.
Okay. U.S. Open started yesterday. Novak Djokovic, a routine straight set win at night. American Francis Tiafoe, 1-4 sets on the women's side. Sloane Stephens, a former champion.
What the hell happened to her?
Dude, she was up 6-0, 3-0. So basically, that's like a 35-point lead in football.
Like a walkover. She's just killing her.
And then she collapsed. Lost 6-0, 5-7, 5-7, dude. Clara Burrell from France, who's not very good.
That's amazing. And she had match points, correct?
Yep. Wow. She was, twice, right?
Like, that's an epic choke.
That's a bad one, as Dog would say.
Yes, it is.
And we have some 16-year-old that won?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I had her first name. Anna Jovic, 16 years old, American.
Not bad.
Wins her first match.
Good for her.
The 2023 Australian Open semifinalist. How about that?
What was her name?
Magda Linette.
Magda Lynette.
Yeah. M-A-G-D-A.
Magda. Lynette's actually her last
Lynette's
name, not her first
name. Yes.
Okay. Could be, it's a double female first name. You usually don't hear that.
Magda. M-A-G-A. Magda.
That's a very, I'm Magda.
Maybe she goes by Maggie for short. You know what I love about the tennis?
I don't know.
As we, do the updates, Jerry, we always try to put, Mink used to struggle with the names.
You think?
It's something all leagues should do. If you go to the WTA or the ATP website,
you
get the speaker and they say, "Hi, my name is," and they pronounce it for you.
A lot of the Big Ten schools do that. I'm sure a lot of other ones too, but just because I live in the Big Ten with Rutgers, they all do that too. And that one helps a great deal.
Yeah.
What's funny is when you do listen to it and you pronounce it that way and then you're told you're saying it the wrong way.
Right, yeah. Okay. And people in there,
correct.
It's how they pronounce it. Yeah, but that's in another country. It's not how we say it in America. Right. Their name is their name.
And that's the problem. Exactly right. All right, Pat, you're going to come back in 5 minutes?
Sure. Yeah, well, I heard we're doing a movie, challenge.
I'm going to see how smart you two are. We're going to do that next. Also, your calls if you want to get in, 888-808-1019. It is CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, so if you joined us yesterday, it is CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. I guess I was being mocked for not really remembering, like, movie lines. And then Pat was talking about how the 2000 films, comedies were, like, his wheelhouse.
Mid-2000s,
to which I said, which decade are we talking? And you mocked me for that, too.
Yeah, we did.
Fair enough.
We haven't really hit the mid-2000s, if you want to take it from 2000 to 3000, Jer.
And I do know... Shut up. And I do know that you are a movie buff yourself, so here's what we're going to do. I've got a handful here.
Don't be peeking.
I'm not peeking.
Oh, there was a little side
eye.
I'm just looking at the literature.
I'm looking at the literature.
A little peripheral view.
So I'm going to give Pat, you'll get the first choice here, okay? Well, not first choice. You're going to get the first line. And you're going to tell me who said it and in what movie.
Okay, so
a word of warning.
It's quotes, right?
Word of warning.
Yeah, movie quote.
I've done these with Jerry before, and he'll be like, how do you not know this? But like, there'll be obscure stuff.
No. I will tell you this.
Yeah.
I looked up the famous quotes from the movies, and they were in ranking order 10 down to 1.
All right.
I don't think I took anything that was less than a 5.
Okay.
All right. I forget what website it was, but it wasn't anything crazy, and it was the same website for every film.
So these should be in the wheelhouse.
Should be,
if you guys are as good as you say you are. All right, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, Pat, here, you go first. The quote from this film is, love doesn't exist. That's what I'm trying to tell you guys, and I'm not picking on love because I don't think friendship exists either.
Wedding Crashers, Owen Wilson.
Yes, the character's name was?
John Beckwith.
Well done.
Wow.
All right,
well, I'm in trouble.
Rascona, can you keep track of this?
I'm in trouble.
I did not remember that one.
All right, so one for you. Here we go, number two to CeeLo.
Oh, boy.
Last week, I put liquid paper on a bee, and it died.
I have no idea.
Can I steal?
You can steal.
You're going to murder me in this. Go ahead.
Don't know that one?
Nope.
That's Will Ferrell in Step Brothers.
Well done.
I love the movie. I don't remember that line.
You don't remember
that's
the line.
You make
fun of me when I say I remember the movie, but I don't remember that part.
You just pulled a me. Prestige worldwide. Why?
Again, I love the movie.
Because right, we put liquid metal on a bee. It died.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a... No, it's Pat's
That's
turn.
All right. I'll take the whooping.
Who said this in what movie, Pat Boyle? Ah, Denver. The Sunshine State. Denver. Gorgeous.
I want to say that's... Anchorman.
It is not Anchorman. For the steal, Chris.
Are we strictly mid-2000s here?
Oh, I know what it is.
I hope so.
can I get it back if he doesn't get it?
I will tell you this. The movie was mentioned yesterday, which is why I picked it.
See, I'm thinking... Oh, you know what? I'm confusing myself.
No, you zip it because you lost.
I know the line, but I'm in the wrong movie.
Mm. All right, so I gotta.
Yeah, go ahead. Let him have it back.
It doesn't count, but go ahead.
I don't know if this is even right either, because I know he goes,
say it.
Denver, John Denver, Blades of Glory, Will Ferrell?
No, Old School. Mitch from Old School?
I'm trying to remember where that was.
All right,
here
we go.
See, I was thinking of Dumb and Dumber.
This is your turn.
What the? That John Denver right. really sucks, because he thinks he's supposed to see the Rockies, and he's driving the wrong direction.
Of course
Sorry,
he is. All right, this is your turn, Chris. Quote, I could be wrong, but I believe diversity is an old wooden ship that was used during the Civil War era.
Okay, that's Anchorman.
All right, good for you. You're on the board. So I got 2-1, Bri, is that right? All right, 2-1. Back to Pat. Are you ready? Who said this? What movie? It smelled like you yesterday. This smells like stripper's perfume. I'm going to get herpes just from sitting on this couch. Another movie that was mentioned yesterday. And by you. Is someone telling him in his headset?
No.
Okay.
No, he hasn't said anything.
This smells like stripper.
Yeah, you heard Pat whispering to himself.
Oh, okay, fine. No cheating. That's a boomer move.
Couch.
You got 3 seconds. We don't have all day here.
I'm going to go with Superbad.
No.
Don't know. Chris,
okay, this is Forgetting Sarah Marshall. It was Brian, whoever that is. You mentioned that movie yesterday.
I know.
Love the movie. I don't remember that.
I don't remember it either.
There's a lot of intricate scenes that can be lost. Or
that was like the number three funny.
I want to know who's doing these quote rankings.
Right, I agree, yeah.
Well, what do you mean? This is the first one.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of other quotes in that movie that are much better.
All right.
That's why I was
Chris,
concerned.
Chris, here we go. Still 2-1? 2-1. All right, who said this? God is a mean kid sitting on an anthill with a magnifying glass, and I'm the ant.
Not a clue.
For the steal.
Not a clue. I'm not even...
All right.
I don't know either.
That was Bruce Almighty. Okay, here we go.
Wow,
next one.
Again, a movie that I love and I could think of lines, and that one just does not even register.
Really?
I
thought choking, it was kind of on it, choking under the pressure.
Great. I mean, Steve Carell, to me, his coming out party was Bruce
right,
Almighty.
Are you ready?
When Jim Carrey takes over
this is for Pat.
The teleprompter.
I'm very discreet, but I'll haunt your dreams. You mentioned this movie yesterday, too.
That also sounds like a very discreet. Punch trees.
Yes.
That's got to be Will Ferrell.
Nope.
You know it.
Yeah.
You're out for the steal.
40-year-old virgin,
that's,
Jane Lynch.
That's exactly right. Well done.
She's tied.
Only Whispers It is here. It's very creepy.
Tied it two.
All right, here we go. Tied it two. All right, Chris, back to you for the lead. Are you ready? Who said this in what movie? I'm going to take a pillowcase, fill it with bars of soap, and beat the bleep out of you.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's like the easiest one yet.
Yeah. See,
I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah, I know the line. I definitely, I mean, that's not.
Go ahead, Pat.
There have been a few you've said I've never even heard
John
of them.
John C. Reilly, Superbad.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Not Superbad.
Wrong.
No, sorry. Step Brothers.
Yeah.
Oh, how do we rule that?
I don't know why.
No, it's fine, because he's not in Superbad. So
I'll give him that.
All right, so you have the lead. If you get this, you win.
Okay.
And you put him to shame. If you get it wrong, he can steal for the tie, and I don't have a tiebreaker, so that you have to punch each other. All right, here we go. You ready? Who said this in what movie? Well, why don't you give me your number in case anything happens to my wife?
It's a great line.
That's pretty funny.
Give me your number in case anything happens to my wife.
Come on. End this thing.
Hope you
got 3 seconds.
Hope you've got a bonus.
You got all day.
Sure.
I don't know.
Oh, no, he's in the lead.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. I don't
know. All right, for the steal.
So you're the winner.
That was from Old School again.
Wow, I don't remember that line.
Specifically.
Scones, back me up
that
here.
That one I remember. That was when it's during the party and Vince Vaughn's upstairs alone with the girl in the bedroom and he tells her that he's married.
That's very
obscure. Rascona was proud. Okay. That was the only one he knew right away. Okay.
Other than that, I'm on CeeLo's side, though. These quotes are suspect.
They were like deep cut. It's all right.
Right movies, wrong quotes. Right church, wrong pew.
He didn't want to make it get everyone right. I respect the
top like one and two. I even knew these guys were telling me, you know, how much they know these movies. And let's see how much you know. A lot of old school lines. That's a good one though.
Yeah. I laughed when you said it, but for whatever reason,
take the early flight home from San Diego.
Yeah, right. A couple new people jump out.
Yeah, that's
like
the best.
Goddamn magic show.
All right.
True love is blind.
I'll tell you what. Next time you can pick the quotes.
I mean, you give me the movies, I'll get you the quotes.
And fairness, we did get 5 out of 9.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it was a solid effort, but I don't think the quotes were there.
That was a good challenge, Jerry. I think you did. I think you did a great job.
Oh, yeah. I just knew it wasn't going to be a walk in the park for us. I'll put it that way.
And it wasn't.
No.
Good job. We'll see you in about a half hour. All right. That's Pat Boyle. This is CeeLo. I'm me. And, well, you're you. Take a quick break. We'll come back on the other side. Turn our attention to what? Oh, a little bit of the NFL. And also at 8 o'clock, we got Steve Peichel and Dylan Harper from Rutgers Hoops coming in. And something that I will also tell you that involves that as well. Coming right back on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Don't go away.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.